The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is. Best
of
one, and the best of the
so, speaking of bitching and moaning, we're going to get to the product that brings that out the most of all of us, and that
I
is...
I haven't watched in 2 months.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's the best.
You
it's
follow great. It, like you're like me, you follow it through podcasts mm-hmm. or read the results, but, you know...
God pick bless YouTube. Couple,
yeah, like you don't have to... You don't have to subject yourself to the bad stuff.
Do you? I gotta ask both of you. Do you think like the whole rating thing? And I thought Adam Silver did a great job talking about this for the NBA this week. When they talk about these ratings, and Adam was talking about, well, the ratings were down, but social media and talking and buzz about it was up higher than it's ever been for the NBA, especially because of the crazy offseason that they had with Kawhi and everything. Do you think that? And he said like. You know, they're still pirating and everything like that. Do you think the thing that's affecting WWE is because of that? Because out of all the professional sports, you don't really go and listen to a podcast recapping a game as much. They'll talk about like, oh, this was the highlight here. But for a football game, hockey game, basketball game, you still kind of want to feel like it. So when you hear Bill Simmons or whoever recap it, you want to be like, yeah, I remember that play and I can't believe this guy made this throw or whatever or this dunk or goal. Where in wrestling, you can listen to Meltzer or the guys from Post Wrestling, for example, or the show that Bubba Ray's on, and they'll just recap shot for shot what happened on Raw or SmackDown. And then also, you know, pirating and you have YouTube. That has to be what is hurt. I know they're on their own rights of hurting the ratings too, but that is really hurting them in their own rights of how recapable the show is for someone like, especially right now, me and Mo, that aren't into, like, I don't want to sit down and watch 3 hours of this.
Okay, do you want to go, Joel, or do you want me to go?
I'll go. I think it does play a factor in it. I think that's maybe like one of the many problems that this product has. I don't think there's a solution for it. I just think once people have checked out, like Mo has and like you have, I still follow along periodically when I have a day off or I'm not doing anything and I'll watch a little bit of it here and there in snippets. There's zero reason to watch live. Like the last thing that I was like, oh, this is kind of entertaining was AJ turning and attacking Ricochet and then doing the Avalanche Styles Clash. But guess what? You don't need to see that live because you're going to see a GIF of it on Twitter. You're going to see a video of it on Instagram. You're going to be able to go on Facebook and they're going to have that clip up. You're going to be able to go on YouTube and watch it. So the reality is moments like that, like Hogan turning and being the third man or Lex Luger showing up, if the social media exists during that time, you wouldn't have to see it live because you'd be able to check it out on your phone. And that's one of the issues that this company has. The product sucks. 90% of this product sucks. I'm enjoying what they're doing with AJ and Ricochet. I enjoyed what they did with Nock and Finn. The Kevin Owens promo I enjoyed, but all those things I watched either live, but mostly either through social media or means of that way. I can pick and choose what WWE spits out. I can pick what I want to watch. I no longer have to sit through 3 hours or 2 hours of their product. And it's one of the many issues that they have. I have no reason to sit down for those 3 hours, those 2 hours to watch the full thing. I may, if I'm really bored and have nothing going on and want to have some background noise while I'm working on stuff, but I think that's a factor, but I don't think it's the biggest factor in the ratings. I think it ultimately comes down to the product that they're putting out.
Yeah, it definitely hurts it. I almost wonder how much they are losing just based on that stuff.
I gotta just say, I disagree. Like, I honestly, like, I'm listening to this, I'm going, oh, you know what? No, I would be, if it wasn't for that stuff, now if it gets good, I'll know about it and I'll return. Mm. I'd be completely out if it wasn't for that stuff. from WWE. That stuff's keeping me in it. I don't watch all 82 Calgary Flames games either. I have to miss some, but I still read the recap. And it's important. When I'm watching AEW, I watch G1 Climax, I'm just as likely to listen to a podcast on that, even though I have seen it, because I want to hear what other people think. And I want to hear the discussion on it. The fact is, at the end of the day, I don't believe that if anything, I'd argue this is keeping people engaged in the product in a way that it wouldn't be otherwise. And at the end of the day, it is the quality of the product. If it's good, I don't care if a home run derby's on. I don't care if the NBA playoffs is on. I don't care if podcasts, you can read about it or recap it. If it's good, people will watch. If it's not good, they won't. That's it. End of the day, it's about the quality.
No, I think you brought up a good point too. Like, if it's not a good product, then I'm not going to care at all. But like, if something good happens, I'll watch it on YouTube. Like, oh, maybe if I had spare time, I'd watch it that day live, which, like, the Heyman stuff, it seems like Raw has been good the last few days. I'm like, oh, you know, if I have a free day here, I may turn into Raw now, because it seems like they're doing a good job with what they're doing with Ricochet and maybe once they get Corbin off,
hear it's good again. That's part of the reason why I'm still following on this stuff, is I want to hear that it should come back.
And that's what it sounds like. It sounds like it's getting much better. I mean, from what I heard today as a rumor, believe it if you want to, that the idea is they're going to phase Shane out. And just 3 weeks ago, we were hearing Shane could be Kofi at SummerSlam. So that's a positive thing I want to hear. Whether they go with it or not, we'll see. But that and the wild card are two things that drove me away. Those are things I need to see go away as well. So there's still work to be done. And the difference
wild card has gone away. It's just completely the rosters are mixed now.
Yeah,
there's no
plan
to play. Yeah, there's none of that. So there's the wild card. But and everybody's complained about Raw this week being bad, and we'll see. I'm still skeptical, but I mean, the idea of phasing, the one thing is the Shane McMahon is the one thing we know is that the idea of the authority, heel authority figure is played out. That is largely being that seems to be one thing that everybody seems to agree on at this point. So.
Josh, you want to run down the card?
Sure. Just let me pull it up really quickly here.
While you're doing that, because Bischoff had sent out a tweet today and it showed that he was in Stamford, and it sounds like after Extreme Rules, he's taking over.
Well, Vince McMahon is nobody's taking over, but hey.
For air quotations of taking over Raw and SmackDown, do you think
Raw and SmackDown?
Well, Heyman's doing
Yeah. The way you made that sound is like, I was like, did I miss something? Was Bischoff now doing both? Thank God.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Good.
Let's run through this because I got 10 minutes. So you guys can talk about whatever afterwards. We have the WWE Tag Team Championships. I guess those are the Raw ones. We have the Revival versus the Usos, which should be a really good match. I think that I saw the Usos won on Monday in whatever match they had just from YouTube. My guess is that the Revival – who are the champions here?
Revival is the champion.
I thought so. I have the Revival keeping the titles going into the SummerSlam session of wrestling. That was a terrible sentence. I apologize.
I'm going to pick the Usos just for shits and giggles.
Sure. Mo?
Yeah, I think the Usos go over and Revival regain it at SummerSlam.
We have Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley in the last man standing. These two have said what you want to say. I don't think any of us are super excited for this match, but they've done a good job as far as getting traction. That arm wrestling match has unbelievable amount of views on YouTube. I think it's almost up to like 15 or 18 million views for an arm wrestling match. The gimmick they did going through the screen was really well done. So at least from a distance of not watching Raw all the time, it seems like they've done a pretty good job of building up this monster match at the very least.
The rumor is that Heyman wants to take a more hands-on approach with Braun Strowman. We'll see how long that lasts. But this is actually really well done and really simply. It went through the cage. Both guys went off the stage. Both guys had to go to the hospital. Lashley got the worst. Strowman got the worst of it. Lashley was okay. and they cut a couple promos on each other where they're like, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you. Simple, easy wrestling. And now these two massive ham hogs are going to go at it.
So the guy that speared the other guy through the Titantron and was on top was the one who was hurt worse, right?
Yeah, that part's been bugging me a lot. I was like, how is Strowman worse than this?
Yeah.
He was paralyzed. Little detail. From one point. Paralyzed? Little detail. Really? Dramatic. I'm not assuming Strowman's going to win.
But,
yeah, no, I agree. I guess we're all kind of assuming Strowman's going to win this, though.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Next, I mean, there's some really good wrestling on this show, I got to say. The Cruiserweight Championship, Drew Gulak versus Tony Nese. Drew Gulak is the champion.
I think Gulak will retain.
It's Gulak time right now.
Yeah, I would assume that Gulak will win that as well. 205 Live has done some pretty good stuff lately. They've done a good job. I mean, I guess from this is I'm assuming that we're going to get to the Gable territory soon. That's where we're kind of going with the championship at one point.
He hasn't done a lot on 205 Live, has he?
I haven't watched. I just know he was there making a point of it.
I know he had the match and where he wasn't supposed to get up the count out victory, but he did. I mean, I hope so, but I could see them also going with Bennett. Bennett's predominantly featured, and he's been going at Drake Maverick, who's been a highlight of pro wrestling with the 24/7 title.
I gotta say, I hate myself that I don't watch enough wrestling anymore. I hate myself that I enjoy the Bennett and Maria promos as much as I have. Because I know it's bad, but I've just enjoyed Maria in them. It's bad, trashy, entertainment type of wrestling, and I enjoy it. I'm not afraid to admit it. Next up, we have two really good matches. First off, we have Ricochet and AJ Styles for the United States Championship.
AJ's winning.
You're going to have AJ. I'm going to have Ricochet winning in that. I think, you know, Ricochet's got the beatdown and everything like that, so despite the Good Brothers more than likely being an aside, I'll have Ricochet winning that match, Mo.
Yeah, I believe AJ wins, but I think you could ruin a. I mean, you could ruin a classic match with by having the Good Brothers get involved. You know, that's my fear.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, this is a dream match for most people, so hopefully they don't interfere. That it's one of the things that I actually entered it into Extreme Rules. Looking forward to that match. The other one is this match. It's Aleister Black versus Cesaro in a singles match. Cesaro's finally entering Aleister Black's challenge.
He's the one who knocks.
This is going to be a great one. But, I mean, you have to assume, with the build-up of Aleister Black is winning this, right?
No, Black is going to win. 30.
No, Robert Roode is going to beat him. Sorry. you guys got that reference. Cesaro's obviously going to lose, but... did you guys see that team that he apparently formed on Main Event with EC3 and Cesaro and Bobby Roode?
I did not, but I'm very intrigued.
They called themselves the Main Event Muscle Men, and they came out for one show a couple weeks ago.
Anything with EC3, I'll take, because he's literally the guy right now that is taking chicken shit and turning it into chicken salad. Any opportunity that EC3 has, and I really appreciate that about him.
Oh, man. Anyways, yeah, Black has to go over. I hope they give them enough time to have a great match. That's the thing. That's a big question, right? I think is it 9 or 10 matches? So
10. Some,
10 matches, 3 hours, video packages, entrances. It might be too full.
Yeah, I don't know which ones here are on the pre-show either. I'm assuming that maybe the Cruiserweight will be on there.
Maybe next.
Yeah, we have the triple threat for the SmackDown Tag Championships. We have Daniel Bryan and Rowan versus New Day. That's Big E and Xavier Woods and Heavy Machinery of Otis and Tucker. I think it's time for Heavy Machinery to get the tag title, so I'm going to go with Heavy Machinery.
I'm going to just say keep it on Bryan and Rowan. I don't know. I'm not really sure on this match on who's going to go over.
New Day's had enough titles.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they're not going to put it on Heavy Machinery yet. Mm. I think they'll keep it on Bryan and Rowan because I don't think that's played out yet.
Right.
But it's definitely not. They should be able to get more steam with those two as champions than they have.
Right. Next up, we have The Undertaker and Roman Reigns for Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre. No, I refuse. That's my answer to this match, but I'm assuming The Undertaker pins Drew McIntyre and we all get upset about it.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. No, Shane is going to pin Roman.
Or Shane can pin The Undertaker.
If you know what, this is one of those, we're going to find out, aren't we going to find out really how much control Heyman and like these, a couple of these matches, we're going to find out how much control Heyman and Bischoff have. And this is one of those matches where we'll find out how much control Heyman and Bischoff have. But I'm going to say cooler heads prevail and Roman pins Reigns in a match that I'm sorry. At this point, I used to look forward to Undertaker matches and now I dread them. That's not what we want.
I've never asked Mo, did you see the Goldberg match?
Yeah.
It was depressing.
Literally at work, where I work, we are able to get pay-per-view feeds, and one guy put it on TV, and a bunch of people just gathered around, and we all just shit on it. Like, it was like six people gathered around his TV, just watching it, just shitting on it.
Yeah, it was bad. I think we knew it was going to be our worst match of the year, and it definitely lived up to the hype of that, at the very least. Joel, I may need you to explain this match to me a little bit. It's Bayley versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross in a handicap match for the SmackDown title. Now, does this mean if Nikki gets the pin that Bliss would win?
I believe so. That's the impression that I've got. I could be wrong, but Bliss reportedly has a sinus infection, so they're not sure how much she's going to be able to do, so that's why they've thrown Nikki Cross into the match. Bayley's going to win? I don't know.
Sasha?
I think they have been teasing Bayley bringing somebody. And so I think there's a strong chance that Sasha shows up and turns on Bayley. And here's my prediction. The two of them hate each other, so they'll love this. But they're gonna put Bliss and Banks together.
Oh my God.
And there's gonna be the heel team against Bayley and Cross as a babyface team. That's how this will all turn out. That's my out of nowhere prediction.
Yikes, that's the way to bring Sasha back. The woman that drove her out is your tag team partner.
Oh, yeah, it would be because she, you're back? Okay, let's punish you.
Yeah, pretty much. WWE. You can have a vacation. Yeah, I have Bayley winning this because I think in one way or another she's still going to have a title with the premier match at SummerSlam.
I'm pretty sure somehow Alexa is the champ in this dot.
Yeah. Kofi Kingston versus Samoa Joe for the WWE Championship. It's time for Samoa Joe to get what's rightfully his in the WWE Championship. It's been a fine run by Kofi. He's done much better with it than I ever thought he would have. But it's time to let Joe have this championship. He's earned it.
They booked Kofi strong, but it sounds like Kofi, he tweaked his back. Mm-hmm. So I could see them being like, maybe it's time to take the title off you. You can rest a little bit. You can go away for a little bit, and we'll let Joe's Reign of Terror reign supreme on SmackDown.
It's time.
And I mean, if
Joe had the belt for 6 weeks and Kofi came back, the babyface pop when he comes back from the injury, if he was injured by Joe and comes out to attack him, would be massive.
Yeah, it's easy booking.
Easy booking. So they won't do it. Kingston goes over.
Mo, the swerve of the century of the podcast. Joel, what do you think?
I'll go with Joe, but I can see Kofi retaining.
And then the main event, Vince McMahon at his finest. This is some TNA shit right here. I gotta say, this is some TNA booking.
WCW.
Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch versus Corbin and Lacey Evans. The winner gets all the gold. My answer again is I refuse and I don't care. But I'll say Seth and Becky win. Brock is going to cash in afterwards. This is the Brock cash in. And then we're getting Brock and Roman at SummerSlam. Let's just get to it.
I think you're more likely to see Brock cash in on Kofi. And that's how you get Kofi out for a few weeks. And he gets that belt. And then he's on SmackDown going into the fall on Fox. Mm. And Joe still does. They never give the belt to Joe. So I think that's
that. Don't you think Heyman would want his guy? If they do just go back to strict rosters when they separate, because I know Fox's problem has been like, we want this to be our own show. If they do go back to strict rosters again, don't you think Heyman would want his guy in Raw instead of being in Bischoff's hands?
if it's not what's I if I mean number one, I don't think you'll ever see them not have the crossover. And number two, I if it's what's best for the company, you just don't do that. I mean, that's my prediction. Of course, he might not keep it until they get to Fox, but it just seems to be completely logical for them to go in that direction. Either way, I as far as this match, winner take all.
The fans win
again. The fans win. The only it's keep facing Corbin and Lacey is definitely keeping Rollins from being booed, I think. I think Vince would shake it up and put it on them, and this is where we'll see if cooler heads prevail. I really believe Vince would put it on them, but I'm going to go with the champions retaining.
I would say Lacey would be the one that would get the pin, not Corbin. It would be Lacey that would get the pin.
Either way, but probably more Lacey. It's 55-45 to me, but yeah, I totally think Vince would be like, ratings are down. We gotta shock them, pal. We gotta mix things up. We gotta grab people's attention, and that this is what he would do.
Joel,
it's gonna be a retain, but Mo said there's a madman in charge, and he could make a knee jerk reaction.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them also just doing Corbin and Roman at SummerSlam as well. I think one way or another, this title match is going to have Roman Reigns in it at SummerSlam for the Universal Championship. It just depends if they're going to do him and Seth, if they're going to do him and Brock, or they're going to do him and Corbin. They could just put the belt on Corbin so Roman could destroy him at SummerSlam. It could be that simple.
I don't really want to hear you say the terms do him anymore.
Yeah, well,
sounds
there
like a
it
great
is.
Show,
doesn't it?
It's
sounds fantastic.
Here's the problem with the show, isn't it? Is that it sounds like it's total WCW, in that the undercard sounds like it'll be really good, and then you get to the main event and it'll be shit, and you'll walk away going, "What a horrible show," even though it wasn't.
Some of these matches do literally look like they were booked by Russo.
Yeah,
which like, especially this one right there. Anyways, fellas,
Judy Bagwell on a pole.
I just thank the listeners for listening to me and Joel and Mo. Thanks, guys, for having me on. You guys can continue on. I got to run because I got a game to get to. But everyone enjoyed the wrestling this week, and good luck with the rest of your guys' pod.
Yeah.
And I'll talk to everyone soon, guys.
The show can get good again. Let's go.
There you go. Okay. Take it easy, fellas.
All right. You had the question about Bischoff. Did it come up when we were talking about all this? Did we answer whatever
it
was?
No. Well, kind of did. My thought is, how long before Bischoff and Heyman's role is just simply just a on-paper role and it doesn't matter? How many weeks does it last?
Well, if you look at this last Raw, it already felt like Heyman's role was diminished. Because there's no way he would let all those illogical things go on air that happened this last week. I think, Heyman is more volatile personality than Bischoff. He's more likely to storm out. Bischoff is more likely to try and do what he can while, even if it's not as much as he wants or thinks he can. But at the end of the day, like I say, there's no way Vince McMahon, he just can't let go. He can't. Like, that's the problem here. No matter XFL or this and that, you heard about the email blast, right? That just went out. The problem that happened with this recently.
No. What happened?
Okay, so there was after it got announced that Bischoff and Heyman were coming or were taking over as the showrunners, there was an email blast that was sent out by the WWE saying, come watch their first show in charge. And of course, Heyman had some influence but wasn't in charge, and Bischoff isn't there until this week. But this email blast went out to people on WWE mailing list, and this was after Vince McMahon was controlling everything. And this is one of the things people said to him: you're controlling too much. You're doing too much. Nobody can do that much. You got to give some stuff up. And one of the things he gave up was proving these type of emails going out. and then this screw up happens. And to me, it's like, that's just like, that's all it takes to make Vince McMahon think that, no, I can't trust anybody, and micromanage even more. So that's like the idea that this happened. It's honestly incredible.
It just speaks volumes to. Oh, that's jeez, man. I don't know. You look at like it feels like there's almost like a glimmer of hope. Like I enjoyed bits and pieces of Raw from 2 weeks ago. Like I enjoyed the AJ turn. I enjoyed what they did with Knock. Knock looked like a killer against Finn and just beat the ever loving hell out of him. And Knock got the win. And now you're kind of like, okay, well, what's the follow up? And then you're reminded that you're watching WWE, and there will be no follow up. And that's the problem. And I don't know. There's a part of me that has hope, but the other part of me is like, this is all going to come crashing down, and it's not going to be pretty.
It's not going to be pretty. I think that's the thing. And I don't want it to be that way, but I just think it's. You know,
it's doomed.
Yeah.
There are two things I want to get to before we run away in this two-part podcast that I've just now decided.
Yeah, because it's like 4 hours long.
Yeah. We've talked a lot. Before we get to, I want to close everything out with the G1, but I want to get your take on Tessa Blanchard versus Sami Callihan. I don't know how much aware you are for what they did at Slammiversary, but Tessa took on Sammy. Sammy won, but it clearly shows that it impact, whatever they're going to be called, thinks very highly of Tessa. What do you think of the intergender match that they put on? And couple that with Tony Khan saying he doesn't want that in his company. He just doesn't see it working for him. What's your take?
You don't see it in real combat sports, so I don't think you should see it in professional wrestling. You see it in a sport like tennis, but that's different. You don't see it in real combat sports, so I don't think you should see it in professional wrestling. You don't need to. The women can – you don't need it. Like, you know, you can have great women's wrestling without it. So, like, that's my take on it is you don't need it. So I would not do it. As far as, like, Lucha Underground went overboard on it. The one thing about Tessa Blanchard is she is a powerhouse, and she and Sami Callihan really isn't that big. He's stocky as hell, but he's short. They're actually kind of a similar body type. I didn't see the match. I heard about it. I do think Tessa Blanchard is awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, but even like this never, even with friggin', like China had that massive 300-pound bench press. It was more than some of the guys in the locker room. And she was fine when she was beating them up and doing the low blows or would do a clothesline or something. And you could buy that. But as soon as even her was that powerful, was in against a man, it just comes across phony. Like it just does, you know? So I'm not a fan of it. I just don't think you need it. Does New Japan do that? No. And they're awesome. I think maybe that's my answer on everything from now on. Does New Japan do that? No, and they're awesome.
Well, hey, I know that New Japan takes a ton of heat for not having a women's division, but you look at it, it's definitely stupid. One of those things that...
You know what, I'm going to cut you off there, because that is stupid. New Japan does not have a women's division, but you know what? Their society is different, and their women have their own federations dedicated to them. They don't need to be mixed in, because those federations draw. Those federations have prestige, so they don't need to interact with them. They don't need the men's wrestling. They're good enough on their own. And it's not that New Japan should get. It's not that you should be slamming New Japan for not having women's wrestling. You should be praising the women's wrestling over there for not needing New Japan. All right.
Yeah.
That's my little rant.
No, I'm gonna let you. Let you state your two cents. I don't know. I'm still a little mixed on the intergender matches. I think in some spots it works, some spots it doesn't. It really depends on the story and the overall the people that you're using to tell the story. And it was something that grabbed my attention was seeing Tessa being in the main event. And it makes you think that there's a very good chance that Tessa could be main eventing a WrestleMania one day in a women's match.
She will at some point become a hot free agent for the bigger companies.
Yeah.
I bet you almost for sure she ends up in AEW.
Yeah, because I think that the falling out with Ricochet definitely kind of left some sour grapes, and some of the things that may or may not have played out there within at the Performance Center may have caused some issues there. But even if she goes to AEW, I think she could be a big time player for them. Whoever gets Tessa after her time with Impact is done is a very lucky company.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Final thing I want to close out with, we got 3 nights of the G1 coming up this weekend. I've made my picks. You've made your picks.
Do we want to go over the nights, or do we want to just go over the tournament as a whole here and preview what we think is going to happen? Because I don't know that we're going to get a chance to run it down, the whole thing, and doing 3 nights will be, oh boy, man, schedule another hour.
Let's
unless go you think through. We can, if you think we can blow through them fairly quickly, then I'm game, but.
Let's adapt on the fly. Let's go overview of the tournament. We both of us have and Josh has made his pick as well for who he thinks will. We all have Ibushi winning. That's where we start off. We all have Ibushi winning Block A.
And that, of course, was before the ankle injury.
Yeah, which I think could play a factor in this moving forward. I think we all may be lame ducks, but. This is New Japan, and Ibushi is a definition of a madman, so I could see him powering through, but it could be a factor. Block A for all of us is Block B is a little bit different. You have Jay White, I have Naito, and Josh has Moxley. I think there's not a chance in hell Moxley's going to
win. That's a dumb pick.
Too bad he's not here to hear this. But I think between Jay White and Naito, I was really torn between both of them, because you can make an argument for Jay White and you can make an argument for Naito. I just got to ask you, why do you not think Naito has New Japan cooled off on Naito, where it seemed like he was destined to headline this Tokyo Dome and finally get his moment, to now being maybe not? What happened within Naito in the time that you think he's not destined to eventually beat Okada?
I think there's a lot of factors here that people I think are forgetting, even myself at some point when I was thinking about the tournament over, but earlier, but it makes sense this way. Look, they're doing 2 nights at the Tokyo Dome. They're not doing 1. They don't need 1 main event that can sell out the Tokyo Dome. They need 2. Right? So the question becomes, and this is what a lot of people I think are assuming that it won't be, but is the title going to be defended by Okada or whoever wins it the first night, both nights? Or, and if not, which night is that belt going to be defended? Like, there's a lot of these factors that changes the dynamic of everything that's going on here. In some ways, if you have the title match, then that show, otherwise the other show needs to be more loaded. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To make up for not having it. So this it's just a really it's a difficult to factor in all these things. Because we don't know what they're going to be doing with that part of the card, what the plan is. I suspect the title will be defended both nights, but most people seem to be of a different opinion. What's your opinion on that? First off, let's just go there.
My gut, and if I was in charge, I would have the heavyweight title on one night, and then I'd have the IC title on the other night. I don't know if that elicits a response, but even you just saying that it's going on 2 nights, because Naito is one of the hottest acts for Japan.
Well, exactly.
So he could defend the IC title night 1 and have him take on whoever in a big match, and then night 2 is Okada defending the title against Ibushi or someone else.
So we don't know, again, like the status of a Moxley,
for instance.
You know, will he still be with this doing? Will he do the Tokyo Dome? Jericho probably will. You would have to think. But everything with AEW is another thing that throws into the mix here, because it's obviously a contentious relationship, and yet there's a couple of guys that are key to them at the Tokyo Dome, theoretically, in Moxley and Jericho. So, I mean, what is okay, if Naito's defending the title, one of the things to me was the reason I didn't want to go with Naito was because at this point, him and Ibushi's played out. Yep. And I thought Ibushi was going to the finals, so I don't think that's going to happen again. And I could see – that's why I thought White was the fresh matchup. That's why I went with White. And because I could see White winning. I could see White and Okada and Ibushi and Naito as the other match, like, you know, on the other night. So, this is the why this year to me. Last year I kind of saw it early on, like I had a vision for it, and I thought I'm in Gato's head here, you know. but this year, the dynamics are so different, so vastly different. I don't know.
It's a wide open tournament in a lot of ways, where there's some guys where I think you're guaranteed that they're not going to go far. Moxley being one of them. I'm interested to see what they do with Ospreay.
So I don't think Ospreay's going to do overly well. I think he's going to have great matches but not win a lot. I think that's because that's what happened with Ibushi his first year. He just moved up for the juniors. He came in. He didn't do that well, but he had great matches. And the next year, he went really, really far in it. And I expect that to be the same case. But I will say this about Moxley. I think Moxley's going to do extremely well. And then on the final, be in it until the final night. And that final night, he's facing Juice Robinson. Juice Robinson beats him. That sets up that rematch for the U.S. title. So to me, that's the logical booking on that one.
Yeah. No, and those make sense. And when you start to really look, and that's one thing that whenever you're going through a G1 and you're picking your finals, you got to look at who's wrestling that last night.
Yeah.
Who's in the main? Who do you believe is in the main event for both nights? And on the main event for Block A is Okada versus Ibushi.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Ospreay versus Tanahashi. And I give it away now. I'm probably going to change my mind a dozen times, but I wouldn't be shocked if Will beat Tanahashi, have a shocking win, and help establish Will, who may, absolutely, like you said, have some struggles getting some wins. Block B, which is the final night, you've got Naito versus Jay White, which I think will be the main event, unless you go with Yano versus Jeff Cobbs as your main event.
I think right now, like reading the way the card looked, it was weird. Like I think the way I read the card, it looked like they were setting up the main event to be like Sonata versus Fale. I was like, that can't be right. Like maybe, you know.
I assume that
can't be right.
No. Kenta versus Zack Sabre Jr. will be fun on that night.
Yeah.
What's
Kenta's long-term status with the company? It's another thing, right? Like a lot of these factors, I don't know. It makes it really difficult to judge this tournament. Is he, you know, technically, I believe he's considered a free agent still. So, you know, like how much does he, what kind of push does he get?
Yeah, and I mean, he got a win over Ibushi, so that's a big win for him, because Ibushi's big for Japan, especially signing that contract, and that's why it's finally like, okay, maybe it's Ibushi's time to finally go all the way. But if Ibushi's ankle is bad, who do you see slotting into the role as winner? And
it was 3 or 4 years ago that Nakamura was injured and had to miss 1 or 2 nights. And they just chalked it up as losses, and he still made it to the finals because he just won every other match. And like he was 6-3 for the thing. So they had to change on the fly. So that's another thing that's just another factor in this, depending on how badly he's hurt. I think you're better off doing that than having him go out there and do a 2-minute shitty match.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And he could hurt his ankle even further. He could pull a Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And that would be a bigger problem. But say Ibushi's ankle's just mush. Say it's Eric Carlson, his ankles just hang by a string. Who do you have win Block A, hypothetically, and who do you have move on to the main event of one of your Tokyo Domes?
I think you probably then I think it would be Okada that wins that block, and if that's the case, and you know, and then lose to Jay White or Naito in the finals or whoever it is, because that way you could, that just sets up the Tokudo main event that much more. So yeah. That's probably what I think they would do. That might be what I do. But the nice thing about Block A has a lot of established stars. Block B has just as good wrestlers, but they're not quite as well known. They might be hungrier though. So that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Like if Ibushi was supposed to win, and we're just assuming he was supposed to win. Who knows? Maybe he wouldn't.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Absolutely. We're basing this off of our picks and who we think. For all we know, Gato could have Will Ospreay go on a massive tear and win it. We don't know. Gato's a madman. We've already seen that he'll throw curveballs at you with this G1. So you got to kind of sit there and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is truly, I think, the best representation of pro wrestling integrating itself with sports is the G1.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, even the presentation feels so much like sports. The way they talk about the
averages. You know,
yeah, those type of things. Like, all that just makes it feels like a sporting event. You know, and the storylines don't have to be somebody turning on somebody because somebody's pregnant and who's really the father. Like, swear to God, like, it doesn't. It's the storylines are the same as what interests me for the storylines. That's what Vince McMahon doesn't get. But the NFL has storylines, but it's sports storylines, and it has way more interest than WWE. Like, sports storylines are still storylines, and it's something people can relate to and get into.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the St. Louis Blues going from last in the league as January 3rd all the way to Stanley Cup champions. That's a storyline.
The storyline.
And it's an easy story to tell. And you look at this G1 and you look at some of these matchups. Like, you, for night one for the block, we're getting Moxley versus. It starts with a T. I'm drowning here.
Taichi.
We get that match, which I think would be a fine match. Juice Robinson versus Shingo. I think that'll be a good match.
Shingo's going to do really well in this, by the way. I think he's going to do extremely well in this tournament.
Now,
in that block. I don't think he'll go to the finals, but he's probably my most likely dark horse to go to the finals personally, and he'll certainly, I think, be in it late. But again, we're going to see a lot of parity.
Yeah. Like, going through this, like, we got Okada versus Kenta at some point. We've got Kenta versus Tanahashi. We've got Okada versus Will Ospreay. We've got Kenta versus Will Ospreay. There's so many quality matches from Block A. And I mean, you've got Ishii versus Moxley. You got Moxley versus Jay White. Yano versus Moxley. That's going to be interesting as hell, is what they do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Naito versus John Moxley. We've got,
you know, Yano's going to pull 2 to 3 upsets. Every match that he wins is an upset. He's going to pull 2 to 3. It's a question of which 2 to 3.
See, and that's where you, like, the game that we're, the competition the three of us currently have, which I think I'm ahead of you guys because I picked Kenta.
Yeah, I missed that. I should have realized that he has to go to sleep again, meaning he has to use it, meaning you can't have somebody kick out of it the first time you use it, meaning he has to win. Like, I just totally missed that logic.
We're currently sitting on waiting for Josh's picks, but we've made our picks for the last the next three nights. So this is fun. Like, every time I watch this match, now it's like, okay,
you got skin in the game now.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right? It makes it more fun. It's a sport. Makes it more fun. WWE. I'm freaking down.
But I'm excited to see. And, like, between the three of us, when we do that review show of the final night and where we're talking about which one of us came out on top, it's anyone's game.
Yeah, talking about me coming out on top. I agree. What were you saying?
Man, if you win again, I'm just going to throw my hands up in the air. As long as I'm second, second is the low man's low totem pole thing that I want.
I've probably already given you too much. like because that's the thing is I feel like after a night or two, like it takes one or two nights and I get where Gato's going. Like I it's like, okay, I see it. I see where he's going with this, what he's doing.
And that's one of the things is once you kind of see the picture painted, you're kind of like, okay, this is either good for me or bad for me. And you're watching and you're holding on and hoping that you get a couple random matches right that kind of help pad your stats that when it comes to that final, because if we all pick Ibushi and Ibushi all wins, that's great. What matters is that block B and who wins block B now for all of us, because all three of ours is different. If Naito gets to it, then that could very well put me over the edge. If you're right and Jay White gets in, then that could push you over the edge. And Josh, well, Josh is going to pick wrong anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's a participation award. they love Jay White is the thing. Gato loves Jay White. And you know what? Jay White, I did not like when they put the belt on him. I still think it was a mistake for many, many reasons. But long term, absolutely, that guy's a future main eventer at the Tokyo Dome.
He's one of your four pillars right now. With who would you argue is the four right now? Okada, Tana, and then would you say Naito and Jay White, or would you say Naito and Ibushi? Is that four pillars that Japan? Because Japan usually has four guys that are their main staples. You know, that you always
yeah,
see.
But let's just say right now they have five. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
But if I had to choose between those guys as to who's the, it's definitely the I mean, it comes down to Naito and, or sorry, to Ibushi I'm also having trouble with names. It would come down to Ibushi and White, and I think you'd have to say Ibushi now that he's signed.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's like who's going to draw more? Who draws more money, and he's going to draw more money for the company right now. He's a bigger draw for them. The crowd loves that kid.
Oh yeah.
I say kid, but it's funny because they were mentioning the Kenta match. You know, they talked about the first time they wrestled was in 2004, 15 years ago, and that was one of those moments. I know it, but and we all know Kenta's old, but that was, you know, not past his prime, but older. You know, Tanahashi, is he past his prime? Getting closer. But it's like, wow. Ibushi's old, like you've forgotten, you know. It's like, wow, I doesn't look it, but he's an old dude.
That's why anytime he takes a neck bump, I'm always like, ew, don't do that, stop that,
stop that, stop that, please.
But you know, G1 is this the rest of July, heading into August, heading to the 12th. There's just so much to enrich yourself in for wrestling, and where you're going to get to watch these nights, and you might not watch at like some nights you might skim through it a bit more to kind of keep yourself caught up, but there are other nights where you're just going to have half an hour of just.
It kills me to know how hard it's going to be to keep up with those undercard matches, because unlike WWE, even though they're only tag team matches, and even though you know going into it that the young boy or whatever that you're going to see is the one getting pinned, they set up the next night storyline-wise so well. Like, it just kills me to not be able to necessarily watch all of those.
Yeah, and that's the thing, where you're now like, okay, I got to watch the G1, but you're going to miss out little hints that could help you as you pick each night. But I'm enjoying this. I'm glad that this is in my life, and I'm starting convincing other wrestling fans to watch this.
Yeah.
I'm slowly planting the bug and the thought, this is like sports. It's amazing. Watch it.
It's everything you like about actual wrestling without the shit that you don't like. And sure, it doesn't have something like the 24/7, which has been more entertaining than I would like to admit. But despite not having that, it entertains you in other ways, better ways.
Yeah, I was choked that last week we got night one, and now I've had to wait. But you know what? I'm going to be able to sit at my desk while I'm doing work, working on pictures, and I'm going to be able to have the G1 going. And when a quality match pops up, I'm going to be able to watch it. And that, to me, is I'm going to enjoy it. G1, I'm going to enjoy a lot.
Yeah, sounds like a tough life. I'm not all jealous.
Yeah, no, don't be too jealous. But we've hit on a lot of topics in these two podcasts that we've done, because there's zero reason to make you listen to a 2-hour podcast. And it had Josh in a bit of it, so.
Yeah, well, you can just edit him right out, and that'll help.
We lose Extreme Rules, so.
Yeah, nobody minds. Now we'd also lose Fyter Fest.
That hurt. That the Fight for the Fallen, you mean?
Fight for the Fallen. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and that hurts me a little. So I guess he gets to stick around. But Mo, thank you for coming on. Any last comments, concerns on the world of professional wrestling?
Yeah, just one last thing. Just one last thing. If you're gonna open up the floor for a quick little rant, this whole thing with WWE and their freaking not having wrestling during commercial breaks, that's just ruining the flow of the show. The shows might be better if not for that. I don't understand why this is so hard. You have every hour 20 minutes worth of commercials you have to do, and you have 5 breaks. You have 8 minutes worth of television time. You have five 8-minute segments, and you have 5 4-minute commercial breaks. So if you take away 2 or 3 minutes from one segment, you now have 11 in another segment, and then you take away 1 from another one, now you have 12. Now you can have a decent sized match and just let it go through with no commercial break. Just let the match happen. And plus you have 3 hours. You can play with this over the course of the night. You have 14, 15 segments you can take away time on one with and play with to move around. You can easily give us wrestling matches that without all this convoluted 2 out of 3 or restarts and all this shit, just, it's not that complicated. They overcomplicate it like everything else. It's simple. And you know what? Don't complain people won't stick around for a 4-minute break and then for a 4-minute segment and then a 4-minute break, because guess what? That's how television works. When people are watching Criminal Minds and it ends and it goes to a 4-minute break. Then it comes back to NCIS. And it has a 1-minute introduction of the plot of the show and a one minute of credits, and then it goes to 4 minutes of commercial breaks. That's how television works, and people stick around to the other side because they know the reward is worth it if it's good enough. Thank you. There's my little rant of the week.
It feels like you should be Vince should be calling you.
Oh, dude, I have a vision for how wrestling would be done. It would be totally entertaining and fresh, and I tell you right now, I'll say it. No shame. I am 100% positive. I could run the WWE, book a show, not run the WWE, but I could book Raw a billion times better than Vince McMahon. And well, I have no experience.
One of us has got to win the lottery, and then we can start throwing some skin in the game.
It's going to have to be a hell of a lottery, but still, yes, I agree. One of us wins the lottery, and I book it. Someday I'll break down it to you. Someday we'll do this. How about on a podcast? You and I, we sit there and we book a 3-hour Raw.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're my assistant. I'm head booker. You're my producer. We book a 3-hour Raw, and I show you my vision for how it would be done and take your input, and we put out something that's different and people like.
I would be absolutely game for that. I think that would be a tremendous podcast to do. I think you've come up with an idea, Mo. I'm all for this. Yeah,
of course. We can even bring in Josh, because you know what? Part of what you're doing for me is yes, you have an idea of the show, but you allow those people who you put in charge of those segments to actually run those segments. So you know, I would give you guys little tasks ahead of time as producers of those segments of what my vision for that segment would be, and then I'd let you guys do it, and then we'll come together and put together the show. And what do you say, pretty damn soon, because I'm excited with this idea.
Yeah, I'm all for this. I've got some time on my hands. Let's say that we'll be doing this soon, and then you can check this out on OneFall. So Mo, based off that idea, thank you for coming on for this wonderfully long podcast where we ran through a weekend of wrestling madness, where we have part one and we have part two, where you get covered everything. You get Evolve, you get Fight for the Fallen, Extreme Rules, and you get a G1 preview. What more could you want?
I cocaine. I don't know. Depends on who you are, really.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Everyone's got the
I mean, if we're going to be booking wrestling, we really should be doing some drugs.
Yeah, you gotta. The best wrestling was booked under a mountain of cocaine, anyways.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly. That's how it works. All right. But like I said, all killer, no filler. All stuff, no fluff. That's why I kept on saying, let's get going. There was a hell of a lot to talk about.
Oh, we burned through a lot. So thank you all for coming along this journey with us, and we will be back soon. We got a G1 review coming down the pipeline once the G1 wraps up, and we'll probably have a bunch more podcasts because wrestling never stops. So thanks for coming on, Mo, and thanks, Josh, for joining us for that small little snippet, and we'll be back soon with more podcast fun.
And good night, Ben!